Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Chavav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Hei Amid Be'ez at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Machikna Se'ilim Rabar, one has to distance the tree from the bar, Esrim V'chamesh Amma, 25 Amma. That means if somebody dug a bar in his property, somebody else may not put a tree within 25 amma of that bar, because the concern is that the roots of that tree will spread into the bar, and once they spread into the bar, they will destroy it. Ube'etz charev ube'shitma, in a carob or sycamore tree that have even longer, deeper roots, the distance has to be chamishim amma. Distance has to be 50 amma. And furthermore, says the Mishnah, Beimel Mala Beimel Menatzad, this halacha applies whether the bar is above, whether the one is above the other, or whether they're side by side. These shurim are the same no matter what. But, says the Mishnah, in bar kadma, if the bar was there first, before he planted the tree, the halacha is kaitzitz, the tree must be cut avenois and domim, and the person has to pay for that, and the person has to pay for it. Ilan kadam, but if the tree was there first, then lo yakutz, he's not obligated to cut down his bar, because you should have not put up a bar in a place, you should have not put your bar in a place which I had a tree within 25 amas. Suffix zek kadam. If we're not quite sure which was there first, then the halach is layokutz. We can't force the person of the tree to cut down his tree. And if you can't determine definitively what happened here, so therefore the halach is that hamaytzi mechaveroi all of haraya. And therefore, since we're not of a raya, we leave it the way it is. Rabbi Yossi says, even in a case where the bar was there first, layakutz, because he doesn't have to cut down his tree. This person who made the bar within his property, and this one made a tree in his property. And Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that, given that each one made it in their own property, each one had every right to do it. So there's a number of ways that the Rishonim approach this Machloikas Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Some approach that they approach this with the attitude that this is not called a mazik, because it's not Girei Delei, because as we've learned, Rabbi Yossi says it's only considered a mazik when it's direct hezek giri delay. This is not a situation of giri delay, and therefore Rabbi Yossi says you're not chayiv. That's one approach. Another approach is that, of course, that this is a situation of mamon hamazik, but there are rishonim and achronim, I think the Nesiva says this, that suggest that even though we learned Masechta Bava Kamma, and when we learned Masechta Bava Kamma, we learned quite extensively the halacha mamon hamazik, but the Nesiva says that we only say the mamon hamazik in a case where my mamon did hezek, but it wasn't in my own rishus. Whereas in our Gemara, in our Mishnah, the bar is in my rishus, and the ilan is in my rishus, and therefore that can't be considered mamon hamazik. The Mishnah also said that according to the Tanakama, where the Elon is considered a mazik, and you're not supposed to plant a tree within 25 amis of somebody else's bar, if you did plant a tree, then the tree should be cut, but you have to pay for the tree. And the question is, why would the person, the balabar, who has, according to the Mishnah, the right to cut down that tree, have to pay for the tree? He's doing what he's doing because he's allowed to do it. So there are two approaches in the Rishonim. Some say that, again, even though the Chachamim hold alamazik l'harchik esatzmai, it's the Baal HaElon's responsibility to be concerned, but right now the Elon is not doing any damage, direct damage. It's only something that's going to happen later. And since it's only something that's going to happen later, you can't call that a case of mazik. So yes, because of the concern of what's going to happen later, does the Baal Habor have a right to cut down the tree, but to take it without paying for it, that much of a right he doesn't. Also, in contrast to what we've been learning in previous Mishnahs, this Mishnah is where it's doing hezek to a yachid. And the halacha differentiates between hezek that's done to a yachid versus hezek that's done to rabbim. And our Mishnah, being that it's a hezek to a yachid, that's why you have to pay for the tree. Says the Bryson, explain the Mishnah. The halacha of a Mishnah, says the Gemara, applies. Bein shabar lamata, the ilan lamala, whether the bar is down the mountain, it's on a mountain, and the bar is towards the bottom, and the ilan is towards the trap. Bein shabar lamala, whether the bar is on top, the ilan lamata. So ask the Gemara. Bishlam bar lamata, the ilan lamala, in a case where the bar is on the bottom, is and the tree is on top, so we could understand the din of the Mishnah very well, because ka'azl sharshin, the roots that are under the tree, maskin leila bar, extend into the bar and will destroy the bar. But ask the Gemara, in the case where the bar is lamala, vila lamata, where the tree is on the bottom and the bar is on top, because of gravity, the roots go towards the bottom. They don't go towards the top. So if that's the case, why is it going? Why should the person with the tree? Why should we be concerned about that tree? Answers the Gemara: Amar Rav Chana b'Shmei Rav Yosi, Nei Shemachlid Nesakarka. When you have roots, they go under the go underground. Or Malkin Kakiyosu Shabar, because the entire area around the bar becomes weakened, even if the roots aren't directly there. And therefore, that's considered a damage that you should be held responsible for. Rav Yosi Omer, we learned in the Mishnah that Rav Yosi's opinion is that Rav Yosi Omer, bar kedemus lilan, even in a case where the bar was there first, layakitz, you don't have a right to cut down the bar, to cut down the tree. I made my bar on my property, and you made your tree on your property. To which the Gemara comments, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Alok Rabbi Yosi. That's the halacha. Amar Rav Ashi Kavina Beir Rav Kahana, when we learned in the Shira of Kahana Avar Minin, but as we learned, Moide Rabbi Yosi agrees Begiri the day. In a case where it's my direct damage, there I'm chayiv. And we had such an example towards the end of Masecht Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, where we had two people who were living in one building, one upstairs and one downstairs, and the ceiling floor between the upper floor and the lower floor got weakened, and every time somebody upstairs washed their hands or used water, it went down to the bottom floor. That's a clear, as we've explained, that's considered a clear and definite situation of damage. And since that's considered a clear and definite situation of damage, everybody agrees that that's gear delay. Even Rabbi Yosi will agree that you're held responsible. Says the Gemara, Papa Yoina Oni Vashahava. Papa Yoina, his name was Papa, and he came from a place called Yoina. He was a poor person, Vashahava. And then he became wealthy. Bona Fandom, and when Baruch Hashem, after he became wealthy, he built himself a mansion. Hanachava Tsurbish Vosei. There were people in his neighborhood that would press poppy seeds for poppy oil, of sesame oil. The chava daika shimshuni, and when they would press the sesame, havanaida fanda, it would cause that the walls of the building should shake. Also kamei Ravashi, so they came to Ravashi, Amalei, and Ravashi said to them, kevina be Rav Kahana, when I learned in the Shira of Kahana, have a marinin, that as we just learned, that even if we paskin like Rabbi Yosi, my the Rabbi Yosi begir delay, Rabbi Yosi agrees when it's something that's a definite damage, that I'm causing definite immediate damage, I'm going to be held responsible. And the Rishonim point out that even if they had been pressing sesame there for 3 years, as we're going to be learning, there's no chazok. As we learned, that's not considered a chazaka. Because as we learned on Daf Chaf Gimel, ain chazaka l'nesakim. You know, it's not considered a chazaka. You can't establish a chazaka that based on doing damage. So the many Rishonim and Achronim focus on why is it important for the Mishnah to teach, for the Gemara to teach us that he was originally poor and then he got wealthy. So Tosfos explains that we would have thought that when would the person who made this sesame pressing operation have to move away? Because when he built it next to a rich person, and he should have recognized and anticipated that this wealthy person is going to possibly make a mansion there, and this is damaging to the mansion, and he shouldn't have made it. But here he built it next to a poor person's property, who he had no reason to believe that this person will ever build a mansion, and therefore maybe he had every right to build that press. Teaches us the Mishnah, that teaches us the Gemara, that if in such a case, since as we just described, the sesame oil press causes damage, and since it causes damage, he has a right to demand that it be closed. The Rashba, however, takes just the opposite approach. He says that Pape was poor, but it was because he was originally poor. That's why he had to move it away. Meaning, says the Rashba, if Pape was originally rich, and this person put up a press there, so the possibility that he's going to put up, the possibility that he's going to put up a mansion was a real possibility. Since the possibility that he was going to put up a mansion over there was real, Popeye should have said something. And the fact that he didn't say anything means that he was Michael. And therefore, if now he can't change his mind. But here, he was poor. See, the reason he didn't say anything is because he didn't believe there was anything for him to say, because I'm never going to have a mansion. I'm a poor person. I'm never going to have the ability to make a mansion. And therefore, that's why he can now be Meicha. But if it were a case where he was originally wealthy, he should have been Meicha. And the fact that he wasn't Meicha, it's on him, and now he can't have any complaint. Says the Gemara, we said that if the walls of the mansion shake because of the press, then he could say that you should remove the press. What is the definition, asked the Gemara, what is the definition of the wall shaking? The comma, what does that mean? K'denayit nachtema pumei dechatzpa. And there are many explanations. Nayit nachtema, the exact definition of this, means like the lid of something shakes. So some explain that if you have a pitcher, this way Rashi explains, you have a pitcher on top of the wall, and because of this sesame oil press, the lid on top of that pitcher shakes, that is an indication that that wall, that that's doing damaging. That Tosfos says that the pitcher, you don't have to have the pitcher on top of the wall. Even if you have the pitcher, says Tosfos, on holding the pitcher next to the wall and it shakes, it's considered already damage. Others explain, the Rashba's explanation is that we're not focusing on the pitcher. We're focusing on the wall. And what it means is, if you'll ever see a pitcher with the lid shaking, if the wall is shaking to that degree, then that's a proof that this press is damaging the wall. The Rivash and the Tshuva says that even though we just gave, the Gemara gave a shear, what is considered a shaking wall, and that considered damage, the Rivash says, It's hard to make a hard and fast rule. Rather, says the Rivosh, we have to look at each situation independently. And based on the situation that we're studying, that's how we'll know what is, if it's some walls are bigger walls, some walls are smaller walls, and every case is different to make that decision. Says the Gemara, the Beit Marion Brei de Ravin, the family of Marion, the son of Ravin, Kavanafsi Kitna, when they would shake out the linen, they would have linen, and they would have in it impurities, and they wanted to shake them out. Have a Azla Raxo Maskinchi. What happened was the dirt would fly away, and they would hurt people. Asla Kamed Ravina, and those people who were getting hurt came to Ravina with a complaint. Amluhu. So Ravina said that your claim is baseless. Ki aminin, because even though we're saying that even Rabbi Yossi is agreeable, but ki aminin, Rabbi Yossi, when did Rabbi Yossi say, when might Rabbi Yossi begiri delay? And even Rabbi Yossi agrees that begiri delay you're responsible. Hanimil the ka ozlum kaychai. That's only when it's coming directly because of my shaking. Hacha, but in the case that we're studying now, siku the kamam delay. It's not that the person that's causing that the dirt, the impurities should follow. It's the wind. And since it's the wind, you won't be held responsible. Of course, point out to Rishonim, that's only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. But according to the opinion of Chachamim that we just learned in the Mishnah, who take a much stricter opinion, they said you have to distance the tree from the bar, they would agree. In this case, they would say that this is considered your damage, and since it's considered your damage, you're going to be chayiv. But of course, the question is, we learned Masechta Baba Kama, and when we learned Masechta Baba Kama, one of the Dalet Nazikim, one of the Dalet Ovis Nazikim that we learned at the first Mishnah, the Masechta was Eish, and when we learned Eish, we spoke about Eish being the whole concept of Eish. We learned was that it spreads because of the Ruach. So we see that something that spread because of Ruach is considered a mazik. So why over here, when these dirt, these impurities are blown around because of the wind, is it not the same as Eish? So Rabbeinu Yonah answers that the Eish is a mazik. Ruach takes that mazik and spreads it. Here, the dirt are not mazikim. They're only mazikim only because of the wind. And there's a difference when you start with a mazik and it spreads versus when you don't start with something that's a mazik. So, says the Gemara, Amala, ki amir may rabbi yes begir delay, hanamil ka'azim ka'icha, when you made that mazik do something. Hacha, it's not you that's causing it. Zika the kamamtala, and you're not held responsible. Ask the Gemara, Mask of Law, Barbara Vashi. So Barbara Vashi asks in this, Maishna Mizori River Ruch Maseyato, one of the Ovis Melochas on Shabbos, is winnowing. And we throw up the grain, and the impurities separate. And here we see that it's the wind that's separating it. And even though it's the wind that's separating, it's enough to be considered a melacha. So why should it be different here? And as the Yad Ramah says, when we learned Masechta Shabbos, the Torah was very clear when it speaks about the melachos on Shabbos that it's not considered a melacha unless you do the entire melacha. So if that's not considered, so if for Shabbos, even though it's the wind that's the primary player in causing the impurities to get separated, it's still considered your malacha. So here, certainly, if you shook out the linen, even though it's the wind that contributed that the dirt should fly, it should still be considered that you did a maisa hezek. Answers the Gemara, Amaru kamei de remeimer. When this question was said to remeimer, Amalahayna zoe ruach masayta. We can compare it to this case, and he indeed says that just like by Shabbos, Yechayiv, He says here you would be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, or Ravina, and according to Ravina, the Gemara asks another question. Why does Ravina hold that you would not be chayiv here? Mashna megets hayotze mitachse patish. If somebody is banging on metal and a spark flies out, the hizik chayiv l'shalim, that's considered a situation that you chayiv. So why over here should you not be chayiv? Answers the Gemara, hosom, in the case where the spark flies away, that's actually what you want should happen. Nichale de lezel, you want the spark to fly away, and therefore you chayiv. Hacha, lenichale de lezel, you don't need necessarily that the impurities of your linen should fly away, and therefore you can't compare the two cases. The Rishonim try to understand, how do we understand this entire machlokes? So they explain that the machlokes, first of all, the first question, where the Gemara said, if by Shabbos it's a melacha, it should also be considered a mazik here. So the Rishonim explain, Shabbos and mazik work very differently. When we speak about Shabbos, it's melechs machshavas asr Torah. It's what I want should happen. I intended to do something, and I had a it has a constructive purpose, and therefore I intended to winnow my grain. That's what I wanted, and therefore I'm going to be chayiv. The nezikin, it's not my intention. My nezikin is that I intend to do damage. By Shabbos, the proba, the test, is that I intend to do this malacha. And yes, somebody who does Zaira intended to do this malacha. By Nezikin, I did not intend to do any damage. And in fact, that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. The way the Rif's going to pass, the way the Rif learns the Gemara, is that we understand now the difference between Shabbos and Nezikin. Shabbos, I intended to do winnowing. Here, I did not intend that my impurities should end up on the other person's property. That's certainly the case. The only point that has to be made in understanding further is that even though the intentions were different, the man d'amar that says yichayif says that we learn one from the other. And if by hilchus Shabbos you're chayiv, then that's an indication that you'll be chayiv as far as the nezikin as well. And the other man d'amar says that we can't connect hilchus Shabbos to hilchus nezikin. And even though by hilchus Shabbos it may be a concern, that doesn't mean it's a concern by hilchus nezikin. Says the Mishnah, Layita Adam Ilan Samach L'stei Chaveroi, somebody should not plant a tree next to somebody else's field. Elm ken hirchik mera arba amas, unless he distanced 4 amas. Because if not, the concern is that when you're going to want to plow in your field, you're going to want to be able to plow, and here you're going to have to enter the next person's field, so you have to have the distance for your plow to work. Ech gefanav ech koilim. And the Yad Ramah points out that even though we've been learning consistently the machlokes of Yosi and Rabbanan, here there's a new rule. It's a special takonas chachamim that Chazal instituted that people shall have the ability to plow. If that's the case, even Rabbi Yosi will agree that in this case you have to leave this distance. The Rishonim debate: how do we understand these dalar amas? That means the Ramban says, now let's say the two of us are coming to plant at the same time. How much must we distance? Ramban says each one of us has to distance 2 amos, so we should have a total of 4. Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees. And Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion is that each one of us has to separate by four amos. Each one of us has to contribute 4 amos. Says the Mishnah, together by the time, if there was a wall separating our property, so the halacha is, I could put trees next to my fence, And you could plant trees next to your fence. If the roots of one person's tree yoitz in l'tachshel chaveroi enter the next person's property, mamik shlosh tfachim, the person into whose property the roots are entering could cut up to the depth of three tfachim, kidei shlo yakvua machrisha, that those roots should not get in the way of the person who is plowing. If the person who owns the field into which the roots are entering was digging different types of pits, and again, the roots of the tree were blocking his digging, he could cut those roots, and he could go as deep as he needs to, and the wood that he extracts shall be his. Tana, says the Gemara, Arba Amish Amru, the four Amish that Chazal in our Mishnah told us to distance is Kedei Avodas HaKerem. That is the amount of space that you need around the persons to plant, to work with your plow. And Reb Chaskel Abramsky and Chazon Yecheskel, quoting the Rabban, says, even though at this point your tree is not doing any damage to my tree, but because the tree will eventually cause damage, the halacha already considers that enough of a consideration. Says the Gemara Amish Shmuel, to which Shmuel said that this halacha is only Beretz Yisrael. Avol b'bavel, in Bavel where they don't have to have such big plows, shtei amos, two amos are enough. And the Rabban explains, in Eretz Yisrael, they used a bigger type of plow because Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Harim V'Gvoyis. It's a very hilly terrain, and therefore you need a stronger, bigger plow. And Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel, it didn't need it. And therefore, a smaller plow is adequate and two amos is enough. Tainami hachi, la'ita adam se'ilan samach l'stei chaveroi, elm ken hechuk mene shtei amos. Ask the Gemara, here it says shtei amos in this braisa, yet in our Mishnah it said arba amos. Answers the Gemara, lav, the way we reconcile it is k'tis Shmuel. There's a difference between Bavel, where two amos is enough, and Eretz Yisrael, where four amos is enough, shema mina. Vika d'rami le'mirma, and there are those that learn it as a question. And I saw that the Mefarshim point out that there is no halachic difference between the different ways that this halacha is being taught. It's just the Gemara is quoting the different ways how this halacha was taught in the yeshiva. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, lo yita adam ilan samach l'stei chaveroi, elm ken hirchik mena arba amis, to which a question was asked. V'atanya, the Brisa says, shtei amis. To which Shmuel answers, like Kasha, Kamba Bavel, Kamba Tzisrael. Says the Gemara, Rabba Baba Rav Chanan, Havloi Hani Dikla Mitzvah de Paradesa de Rabbi Yosef. He had trees on the border of the garden, of the field that he had with Rabbi Yosef. Have a Asu Tzipari, there were birds that Yosef Dikla, that sat on top of the palm trees, the Nachsi de Paradesa, and because they came to those trees, they would go to the garden, the vineyard, or mafsalei, and they would eat from those trees. And the Rishonim point out that the way to understand this Gemara is that the vineyard was there before the trees. And therefore the concern here was, how do you have a right to plant these palm trees that could cause damage to my vineyard? And that's why the Gemara says, Amalei, that's why Rabbi Yosef said to Rav Bar of Chanan, Zolkaitz, you have to cut down your trees. You had no right to put up your tree here. Amle v'achikile, I distant four amis, as the Mishnah told us to. Why am I responsible to cut down my tree? Amle, hani mili lilonis, when did our Mishnah say that a distance of four amis is enough? Is when we're talking about trees. Avel gefanim, but if we're talking about a vineyard. So, since we're talking about a vineyard, Therefore, being in Tvei, we need to be more concerned. The Rishonim point out, is it because he put up trees, or even if he planted seeds, would be the same? And really is connected to what we discussed, that according to Rabbi Yosef, you have to have giri delay. And at what point is it considered giri delay? Says the Gemara, V'anantanan, our Mishnah didn't make this type of distinction. Our Mishnah said, Echad Gefanim, V'echad Kalilin. All trees, Dalar Amit, distancing is enough. Amalei, Hani Mili, Ilan, Ilan, Ugefanim, Lefanim. When was our Mishnah said? When you're separating trees, or you're separating grapevines. Aval Ilan, Ilan, when you're separating Ilan from Gefanim, Bin and Tvei. But it's interesting to point out, the Rishonim point out, that even though we're learning that in the case of Gefanim and Ilan, you need more of a distance, the Mishnah nor the Braisa tells us how much is the distance. And Parsha Pshat, the distance has to be whatever is going to be, the amount that you're comfortable won't do damage. Amalek. So Rava said to Rabbi Yosef, I'm not like a tzinin. I don't want to cut down the tree, because you're not allowed to cut the tree. Dama Rav, because Rav taught us, Hai Dikla, the Kantan Kaba, if you have a date tree that produces a Kaba fruit a year, Asla Mikzei, you're not allowed to cut it down. As the Pasuk says, Kimimenu Toichol, for Oysa Lai Sichrois. Dama Rav Chanina, and Rav Chanina said, Leshavak Shechus Bari, my son Shechus only passed away. El the cuts tis nevloizamne. He cut down a tree when he had no right to cut that down. Mar, he said to him, I'm not getting in your way, and that is inichalei liktzos. So the question is, why was Tosfos asks, why was Rabbi Rav Chanan reluctant to cut down the tree? The halacha is that when it's permissible, it's permissible. So some Rishonim say that the heter to cut down a tree is only by a tree that doesn't produce, as we learned in our Mishnah, that you cut down the tree. So some Rishonim explain, the only time you're allowed to cut down a tree is by a tree where it doesn't give fruit. A tree that gives fruit, you should never cut down. Another pshat is that Rav Rav Chanan, this is the way Rabbeinu Yonah explains, wasn't really certain that Rav Yosef was right in demanding that he cut down the tree. He planted the tree in the proper distance, and this that we're learning now, well, it's a difference of this Gefanim, etc., he wasn't sure that he had a right to cut it down. So what he did was, he didn't protest. If the Rabbanim are saying the cut, he cut, but he didn't cut down. Another pshat that I saw is that even Rabbi Yosef, who was demanding that the tree be cut down, recognized that it was only a midas chassidus. And if there was a midas chassidus, that's when Rava said, on one hand, it may be a midas chassidus to cut down the tree, not to do you damage. But there's another concern, and that's one's not allowed to cut down a tree. And therefore, since one is not supposed to cut down a tree, I'd rather not cut down the tree and under any circumstances. But you want to cut down the tree, you may cut down the tree. Why are we so concerned about cutting the tree? So some Rishonim say that in every tree there are neshamas. And when somebody cuts down the tree, the neshamas that are there cry out that you chased us from where we are supposed to stay. And since those neshamas, you don't want to start up with those neshamas, therefore you shouldn't ever cut down a tree. The Pasuk says, when the dialogue between Chava and Nachash, and Chava says to the snake, Priya Eitzah Shebetoich Hagan, Omel Akim Leisoichlu Memenu V'Leisugubay, Pentam Nusun. And we shouldn't touch it, eat it, we could cause us to die. Says the Gemara, said the Chashloi Mois Tamosin. What did he mean to say? He was saying that the only time the Nachash was saying to Chava, you need to be concerned, is if you're going to cut down the tree. But if you're not going to cut down the tree, you have nothing to be concerned about. And that was the original dialogue between Chava and the Nachash. Rav Yaakov Emden says that even though the tree here was cut down without, that was halachically permitted, but the halach we see from here, and Rav Yehuda Chosser discusses this in the Sefer Chassidim, that cutting down a tree, even in a time when it's permissible, it could cause serious damage. And therefore, he says, my son, who didn't have any Avera, still should have never cut down a tree, and it caused him to suffer. And therefore, the Paiskim say that if there's a time where a tree has to be cut, and even it's a place where halacha is allowed to be cut, it should be cut to the minimum. That means only cut what's necessary. If you have a sukkah and you have to cut the tree so you can put up your sukkah, only cut the branches you need to. And the best, it should be cut down by somebody else, not by Akum, not by yourself. But the Paiskim also, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, says from our Gemara, there's a tremendous halacha l'maisa to be learned. Our Gemara says that obviously Rava Bar Avchanan held that you're not supposed to cut down the tree. But what did he tell Rabbi Yosi? That you want to cut down the tree, you may cut down the tree. Where is this relevant? That it's relevant in a situation where, let's say, I'm machmer on something. I hold something is not kosher or something should not be eaten. And the other person, somebody else, disagrees. They hold it's fine. Am I allowed to tell the person? Am I allowed to serve that to that person? I hold it shouldn't be eaten. But he doesn't hold of that chumrah. From here we see that if you have a personal chumrah, that's a chumrah that you have. It's not a chumrah that you have to impose on others. And that's why he said, I won't cut the tree, but if you want to cut the tree, go right ahead. It's interesting to point out that there's a machloikas rishonim, the Rambam and the Ramban. How far do we take this iser of cutting down a tree? The Ramban seems to say that we're much more lenient. And if there's any constructive purpose in cutting down the tree, then the Ramban says you're allowed to do it. The Rambam says that the Rambam doesn't seem to be so lenient. And I saw that the Sefer Divrei Shalom explains what is how do we understand this machlokes? The question is the isser of cutting down the tree an isser cheftza or an isser gavra? Is it isser that a Kodesh Baruch Hu put this tree in the world, and every tree that's here in the world, as we've been learning, is here for a purpose, and therefore one should not pull it down? Or is an isser gavra, I should not take down a tree? So the Rambam is of the opinion that it's a cheftza. We have to protect the trees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put down in this world. And included in protecting the trees that Hashem put down in the world is not to cut them down unless it's absolutely necessary. The Ramban is of the opinion that it's a gavra. The Torah is trying to train us people not to waste. And learning the lesson of not to waste is not to cut down a tree when there's no reason to cut down a tree, because that is the opposite of the way we should live our lives. But in a case where there's a constructive reason to cut down the tree, then the halacha is that I would be allowed to cut down the tree because I'm not wasting. And the lesson that's to be taught is not being taught by me cutting down the tree. Rav Papa, says the Gemara, Havlu Hana Dikla, Rav Papa had trees, Amitzra de Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua. That that grew on the border with his property with a fundabrade of Yeshua. Also, Ashkech to have a chafer v'kakat shrashiv. So a papa found Rav Huna Brei Yeshua that was digging in the earth and cutting down the trees. Amalei, so a papa says to Mayhai, what's going on here? Amalei, so Rav Huna says, it's our Mishnah. Tanan, haya shrashim yoytzum teich shal chaveroi. If your tree's roots were going into my property, the loch is mamish shloisha, today shalak v'machrisha. I could dig three tefachim down to that the roots should not block my plow. Amalei, so he says, Hani mili shloisha. Yes, the Mishnah allowed us to dig three tefachim, but mar kachafet tvei. You're digging more than three tefachim. Amalei, not bar sichem aris kachfarna. I'm digging these pits, and we learned the Mishnah that the Mishnah taught us how you chayfa bar sichem aris that if I'm digging pits and the roots of your tree are blocking that, the aloch is kaitzitz v'yared. I could dig as deep as I need to. For Eitzim Shloin, I could keep the wood. Amar Papa Amle Kula. I said to Rav Huna many reasons why he should not be allowed to dig the way he was digging. But I wasn't able to prevail over him. Add the Amle until I brought a Mariah from what Rav Yehuda taught us. The Amar Rav Yehuda. Meitzah Shechzik by Rabbim. If there's a property, there's a path that everybody has been walking on, Osel Kalkaloi. And here too, you can't dig up my roots. I have a chazaka on these roots. How says the Gemara, Labasa da Nafak, after Rapapa went out, Amma Mailei Amrilei, when is the halacha that this chazaka is usable? Kam betoch sheshes Amma. If I wanted to cut out the roots within 16 amas, then you have a good claim. But I was cutting roots that were chutz l'shesh esema, the outside of 16 amma. And the explanation is that the first 16 amma of roots next to the tree are necessary for the tree to grow. And therefore, I have no right to cut those roots because if there's a chazaka, we have a chazaka on those roots, because that's very damaging. But after 16 amas, the tree doesn't really need those roots to survive. And since the tree does not really need those roots to survive, the halacha is that I could cut out those roots if they're blocking my plowing. Agamar just taught us the halacha of Meitzah Shechzik by Rabbim. If there's a path to walk, you can't, and then people, and you want to take it away, you can't take it away. And the question is, when is this halacha said? Some say that only if there was a kinyan in that path, then the halacha is that I can't take it away. Other Rishonim say the fact that people walk there, is enough of a way that it becomes a Meitzah Shechzik by Rabbim that you can't take it away. And there was a question that the Paiskim discuss where somebody owned a property and many people had used a path, a shortcut on that property. Now somebody bought that property and he wants to put up a building on that property. The question is that what is the halacha? He wants to put up this building, but the people who are using a path there say, well, we have rights on that path. So the Erech Shai says that the person who bought the property is allowed to put up a building. And the reason is, because what is the halacha? He says, when somebody has the path, the person who owns the property didn't say anything. Why didn't he say anything? Because he was being nice. It doesn't bother me if you walk by here. But I never meant to give up my ownership. Since I never meant to give up my ownership, as long as I could be nice, I could be nice. And therefore, when now it's to my benefit to sell the property, and the buyer of the property wants to be able to use this path, which really belongs to me, the halacha is that you can't say, well, we have a chazaka to walk on this path, on this property. The Masham takes the same approach. And the Masham says that the entire concept
that we speak about Meitzach Shechzika by Rabbim in our Gemara says it was only in the time of Chazal. In time of Chazal, and we'll see this more in Mitzvah Shem when we learn Parakheska Sabbatim, there really weren't formal deeds on people's home. And since there weren't formal deeds on people's homes, so therefore the halacha was, therefore people did not, the way people owned, is ownership was established by what you have on your property. But now that people have leases and everything is properly registered with the government, so everything changes. And the ownership of a property is not determined by you walking on the property or using the property. Ownership of a property is determined by to whom the name this property is registered, who has the deed on the property. And whoever has the deed on the property is the owner of the property, and anyone else doesn't have any claim. Even he can't have a claim just because it was being used by him for a while. So we learned in the Mishnah, HaYechayfa Ba'asir Chamara, if somebody was digging, the halacha is, Kaitzitz V'yared V'etzim Shaloi. The halacha is he could dig all the way down to prevent, to do what he has to do, and keep the wood. Ba'minei, asked the Gemara, Ba'minei, Yaakov Havdaya Merav Chizda. Heitzah Shami, who is owner of the tree? Is the halacha that it belongs to the person who owns the tree, and therefore it has to be given back to the owner of the tree? Or is it go that the person under whose property those roots were found, so since it's under my property, that's why it's considered mine. Amalei, Tanesua, says the Gemara, we can learn it from a Mishnah in Masechta Me'ilah. The Mishnah in Masechta Me'ilah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis teaches us, Shar She'ilan Shel Hedyet, the roots of a tree that belong to an individual, Haboim Behegdish, Shel Hegdish, that enter Hegdish, Leinenim V'leim Alim, that even though you're not allowed to have Hanor from it, but since they come from an Ilan Shel Hedyet, they're not subject to Hilchos Me'ilah. So says the Gemara, Yeah, Shalom Abbasi Ilan Azlinan, if we say we look at who owns the tree, we understand why there's no Me'ilah. Because they're owned by an individual, they're not owned by Hegdish. Eli, Amr Basa Kaka's Linen, the way to make the determination is where are those roots? And these roots are under the Hegdish property. So ask the Gemara, Amai Loi Ma'alan, why wouldn't there be Me'ilah here? Elamai, says the Gemara, this now to you is a proof that Basa Ilan has Linen. We look at who owns the tree. So let's continue, ask the Gemara. Ema Seifa, if we have the reverse situation, Shel Hegdish Haboim B'Shel Hedyet, if the roots of the tree belongs to Hegdish, but they enter the property of a Hedyet, so here too, Loi Nenim, you shouldn't benefit from it. But if you did, Loi Ma'alim, you're not Oiva Me'ila. But ask the Gemara, V'Basa Ilan Azlinan, if we follow where the tree is, and this tree is in the Hegdish property, so why Loi Ma'alim? Why is there no Me'ilan? Says the Gemara, me the area. They can't bring a raya from that Mishnah, not from the Reisha, not from the Sefer, says the Gemara. Because there it's speaking about a case of Gidulin Haboim Lachem Kanaskinen. They are speaking about a case about the roots that came after they were Magdish to Ilan the Karka. And everybody agrees that a Me'ilan the Gidulin, that there's no Me'ilan, something that grew out of Hegdish. That even if you had a Ilan of Hegdish, that grew in property that belongs Hegdish, the Midaraisa, only what was there when you were Magdish it, is subject to Mila. What comes afterwards is not subject to Mila. Ravina Amma, Ravina gives a different explanation in that Mishnah Likasha. Kam b'toch she'eshes Amma, anything that is within 16 Amas of the tree is considered that it fouls the tree, because those roots are essential to the growth of the tree. The kan, chutz l'shesh, as for amma, and here we're talking about past the 16 amma, it's not essential to the tree. And the Ritva points out, it's not that Ravina means to argue on the concept of Eim Ilan B'Gedulin. The teretz that the Gemara offered about Eim Ilan B'Gedulin, Ravina holds, is a good teretz. He just gave another teretz, consistent with what we learned a little earlier about the 16 amma cutoff.